Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter. I write a newsletter for spec traders called Market Alert, and the Turner's Take Ag Marketing is for farmers and hedgers. Feel free to visit us on the web anytime at turnerstake.com. Also, broker here at Daniels Trading. We work with online traders, broker-assisted, spec, hedge, everything in between. So if you ever want to know more about us, go to the show notes. All our contact information is in there or on the website. You can go to turnerstakeag.com or turnerstake.com. So let's dive into it. We're going to take a look here at we'll take a look at the grain markets first. I was going to dive into the macro, but I think, you know, the one thing I would say on the macro markets is the dollar has gotten a little bit weaker. I'll also say that the trade talks we were really hoping for with Trump or the U.S. and China haven't come through yet. We've actually had some setbacks, it looks like. So hopefully longer term this all gets sorted out. But that is, in terms of the commodity markets, I would say probably the big macro factor. And I know there's an FOMC meeting coming up, but it's really going to be these trade talks. There was talk of China making an offer to do $70 billion worth of business in the United States in agriculture, energies, and manufacturing products. I don't think the U.S. administration liked that much, because what they really want to do is have the tariffs or barriers to entry for U.S. businesses to do business in China to stop. Also, with this intellectual property stuff, in order to do business in China, you usually have to have a joint company where the U.S. joins with a Chinese one, and, you know, in order to do business there in China. And then there's all this is one of the issues where the intellectual property gets lost or stolen, depending on who you're listening to. So I think there's more things that the administration is looking for. They're probably going to use these tariffs and trade issues as leverage to do that. This might not just be about getting more exports or, you know, for energy, ag, and manufacturing. It also, if they're taking a long-term play on this, they're going to probably want to open up the markets and have less barriers going down the road and more protection for intellectual property too. So this could go on for a while. Unfortunately, it's definitely hurt some of the markets here, particularly the grain markets. I think a couple things have really gone to be headwinds for corn and soybeans especially. One was what we just talked about. Two, the good to excellent ratings for corn and soybeans, the early ones, have been very, very good. You know, just giving an example, for corn, you know, if we have 88 million acres and good to excellent ratings in corn, we're like 78%, 79% corn rating of good to excellent. You can plug that into models and come up with like a 180 yield, national yield. Now, that is as bullish I could have ever imagined, given that trend line's 174 when this early in the season. But that's what some of the models are suggesting. Now, let's say we really do just have a huge monster crop and we are at a 180 national yield for corn. You know, production is only about 14.5 billion, which is a lot, but it's not a ton. You know, it's not 15 billion or 16 billion, which, you know, if we started talking about, you know, 94 million acres, you know, all of a sudden that's a billion more. But we're not at 94 million acres, we're at 88 million acres. So at 88 million acres and 81 million harvested and 180 yield, You know, with no adjustments to exports, we're at a 2.1 billion carryout. Yet a lot of us think that the exports are going to be higher, at least 100 million higher, if not just in the Swazi coming out, but going farther. So really, at 88 million acres and a 180 yield, our carryout is at 2 billion. So that's, you know, I mean, that's as probably the worst carryout, or in terms of, well, I guess it depends if you're a bull or a bear, but the highest the carryout can be, realistically to me right now, is about 2 billion for new crop. So that means any, you know, loss in yield or acres is going to bring that down. Now, the flip side of that is if we don't, if these trade negotiations drag on, or something happens with NAFTA, which is more likely to be an issue than, you know, corn. China doesn't buy a whole lot of corn from us, but if any, but, you know, NAFTA and corn, and that could certainly pop up and be an issue. If there's some real ramifications of that, you know, then I can see our exports, you know, coming down. But for right now, I think I don't see that as an issue. So I'm thinking worst case scenario, we are at a 2 billion carryout. I think that at a 177 yield, we could be more closer to 1.8, 1.9. I think at a 174 yield, which is trend line, which is probably the worst case scenario right now with yield, considering how what good to excellent ratings are and what the weather forecasts are for this month. You know, we're talking about a 1.6, 1.5 billion carryout. So, you know, we're not going to see corn prices forecasted below three, mid threes to low fours. You know, mid to low fours is probably what the market will be talking about. And when we have volatility, I would expect it to be in those ranges. So, what's changed? I think the bearish outlook is going to probably be maxed out to the lows of last year. You know, when we were had a, you know, there at one point, if you remember, you know, old crop was at 2.5 billion. We're not going to be able to get there. So we're probably not going to see the lows from last year either. I think it's going to be hard to break through the highs from this year, you know, if we're going to be talking about yields starting so high. So where does that bring us to again? Well, believe it or not, earlier in the season, I was talking about $4 straddles. They're right around, those $4 straddles are right around 50 cents again, or close to it. And, you know, between now and harvest, if you're thinking to yourself, December corn is likely to trade between 350 and 450, I mean, that's something to consider, especially for farmers who haven't made enough sales. And, you know, now that things have changed, right, with the market makeup and where we possibly could go, you know, these markets are fluid. I don't know. I mean, if you've only sold 30 or 40, or let's say a mix between hedged and sold, you know, under 50% of your crop, and you want to catch up on some things, I mean, maybe instead of making a cash sale or an HTA, you sell the straddle, and, you know, and then you think to yourself, okay, well, you know, for 5 or 10% of the crop that, you know, I'm doing this for, I'm eventually going to sell this, or, you know, either worse, you know, I'm going to collect the premium. If it gets to 450, I know I'm selling it. If it gets to 350, I know I'm buying it back. And kind of play it that way, because most farmers I talk to have done some sales, especially when we got, you know, and that's when new crop corn was 390 to 420. A lot of sales in varying ranges were done there, or hedges were put on. But no one's more, I don't know anyone more than 50% sold or hedged, and there's a lot more underneath that. So I think, you know, the straddles are a way to play it. I think for the spec trader, the straddle's interesting too. And you can even trade around that. So if, you know, the spec trader using the straddle might be buying corn on the breaks and selling it, you know, as we go higher. And you always have it that position a little bit hedged in case it go against you because of the straddle position. So I kind of like that too. Just, it seems to be for June and July, yeah, we'll get some volatility, but I don't think we'll get below 350, over 450 type volatility. Always could be wrong on that, but just where we are right now, looking at these numbers, the weather, the exports, the deal with the U.S. and China and NAFTA, I mean, I don't know. I just I don't see it breaking in those ranges. I have been getting asked questions like, what happens if the U.S. and, you know, China work things out and NAFTA work things out, and, you know, between now and you know, let's say we come in Monday and this is all worked out. Yeah, maybe that's worth 10, 15 cents to the upside in corn. You know, maybe 20 to 30 in soybeans. But here's the thing with soybeans. We are at... I still think we're going to be at 90 million acres on soybeans. So if we're at 90 million acres, and a lot of people are saying with the initial good to excellence ratings in soybeans, they're saying something like a 50 yield to start off with a bias to go higher. But at 90 million acres and a 50 national yield, and you know, just with, you know, the ending stocks already being high from old crop, we could see the USDA, you know, we could see estimates of a high 600 million to low 700 million carryout on new crop. And at that point, you know, it's very difficult to have $10 soybeans. I might make the argument it's hard to have $9, you know, soybeans. So my big concern right now is soybeans. Now, we're way early in the season. A lot can happen. You know, beans are made late July and August, depending where you are in this country, for the most part. And, you know, if you don't get rain and it's too hot during that time, you know, it could, all the good ratings and conditions you built up heading into that can be lost pretty fast. Same thing with corn during pollination in the later parts of June and earlier to mid-July, again, depending on where you are in the country. So, you know, you always got to keep that in mind in terms of weather, but right now I'm a lot more concerned about beans. If beans get a great growing season, it really could, and the 90, and we increase acres a little bit, we really could get a big bean carryout number. While, well, with corn, I think worst case scenario, we produce as much as we use, and year over year, ending stocks don't change from old crop to new crop, which, with 88 million acres and a record yield, if you're saying to yourself the worst this things can get is what prices were like last year, isn't that bad when compared to soybeans, when you say to yourself, oh no, we can get, these carryouts can get a lot bigger. And if things stall with China, that's going to even weigh on the market more. So for beans, if you're a farmer, I think you need to really start thinking about what you can do with soybeans when they do make a rally above 10. If soybeans are, you know, right now November beans are 990, I'm sure we'll get some kind of weather scares. But if, you know, between now and, let's say, you know, the critical time in the bean market, which would be, you know, in July and definitely into August, we'll get some weather scares. I think if you get over 10 again, you got to start either pricing things either locally, you know, doing HTAs or whatever you may do with your, you know, with your elevator, or you can use futures. I would rather just use HTAs and forward contracting, whether whether vehicles you use for to start to lock things in locally. If you want to do some re-ownership, you can do it on the board. From the spec side, we had like NOVA versus NOVA bear spreads. That's really come in. You could sell the futures, but that's a ton of volatility. Put spreads are interesting, but that's a long-term game. I kind of know it's interesting selling beans against corn, right? You know, going back to that old spread, if we really think beans are going to come down a dollar and the downside is limited to corn, maybe that's the best way to play it. And that way also, too, if you get a weather scare, corn should be going up higher along with soybeans. And you can make the case that corn this year can get tighter faster than soybeans can, which is rare. That's not usually the case. That would be different between year over year. But when you do look at the numbers and you say to yourself, if we have 88 million acres and a 170 yield, things get tight real fast. And that's, you know, 170 divided by 180, that's only a 5% reduction in yield. You know, if you get a 5% reduction in expected yield with soybeans, you know, we're going from a 50 bushel, you know, it's not putting a dent, really, in the ending stocks use. So, which is strange, because, you know, anyone who's been following these grain markets the past 5 or 10 years knows that, you know, it's been the soybean number that's been so sensitive to changes in production or expected production. So, I don't know. I think that does make a lot of sense. So, I'll probably be writing more about that next week on the spec side, the beans versus corn relationship. And if we did want to play that for the season, maybe that's what we do. And it's really more of a soybean trade than anything, even though we're using corn to as the ratio. As far as wheat goes, that has just been all over the place. The wheat traders I know have really just been playing both sides. You know, yeah, we sell off 20 cents, they've been buying. We rally 20 cents, they've been selling. And that's pretty much how it's been going. I don't know other way to play the wheat market right now. There's so much uncertainty. So that's what we'll stay with. I have been talking about cattle in our newsletter. We're probably going to look to take profits in our cattle trade soon. I'll update that. We have been making some new highs lately in some of those spreads. But usually I think to myself, if we can get up a certain amount, especially on a spread trade, we usually just take it. Spreads aren't like futures where they just keep on running and running and running. Usually, they're a lot more range bound than the futures markets can be. So, let's see here. Hold on a second. I'm just going to pause. Alrighty, so that would be it for the livestock. Going forward, what we're looking for here in corn, in all the markets, it looks like we're going to find some support at these levels. In terms of December corn, we're right around where we were when the acreage number came out at the end of March. When we found out about 88 million acres in the March report, we were right around like 396, 397. That's where December corn is right now. We're seeing some support there. So I would think this is a pretty big support level. We're back to the levels of the March intentions, planting intentions. I would expect us, also with the funds reducing so much on their long position, I would think there's now more room to go higher, just because they have now dry powder to put back into the market. So right now our bias on corn, even though we've had a lot of bearish news come into the market, we're down about 30 cents off of the highs. We're thinking there's probably more upside right now or potential for the month of June in corn than there is downside potential. With beans, I think it could go either way. So that's how we're going to approach the market from a hedging side and a spec side. Wheat is definitely a trader's market right now. It's tough to, you're really just playing the momentum either way. And then with the cattle and the hogs, we'll talk more about that next week. But I think we're going to probably look to take some profits on some of our spread positions here. So I hope everyone has a great weekend. We do have a WASDA report on Wednesday. I'm expecting a bullish report because I expect exports to go higher, especially for corn. And I don't think the USDA is going to touch the yield expectations. I think that would be unlikely. It's just too early in the season for them to do that. So even if the market is calculating higher yields and higher exports, the USDA may only take care of the exports this time, which would be bullish, and we'd see if the market would discount that or not, knowing that they're not going to touch yields yet. So that's where we are. We're going to keep an eye on the weather, keep an eye on the China and U.S. deals, NAFTA, a lot of moving parts. But if you should need anything or you want to talk about the markets, please give us a call here. Otherwise, have a great weekend, and we will talk next week. Thanks for listening, everybody.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.